mean, you feel that way tonight, that you love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to us. I love to see all these talents working around here.
Yes.
Our sister's got a little team, a tag team match going there, so that's good. And hey, if the world can do it, we can do it for the Lord, right?
Amen.
Amen. I've often thought sometimes it'd be good just to do that with preaching, have a couple of preachers and just the next one comes up, you know. So, amen. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to have each one of you here.
Yes.
And just the smiles on everyone's face. It's so wonderful. There's a lot to be thankful for. Just remember the prayer request. I really believe the Lord will move on those requests.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Tonight, I want to read from Luke chapter 7. My title is tonight, Why I Preach This Message. Why I Preach This, we'll stress, this message that we believe today.
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. I think Brother Daniel mentioned this particular passage of scriptures over the weekend. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Got me to thinking about it.
Yeah.
Amen. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bid him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave both them. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts to prayer. For a moment, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to look up in your word and to be here together with your people. We ask, Lord, that you would come and break the bread of life tonight to your children. We just love you, Lord. We commit this time into your hands. Ask it in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. Why I preach this message. You know, you don't have to be an actual minister of the gospel, or actual preacher, stand behind the pulpit to be a preacher. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can preach the gospel, and we know that the scripture tells us that we are written epistles known and read of all men.
That's right.
People watch you even when you don't think they're watching you. How many of you watch people? I'm a people watcher. I watch them all the time, especially in airports and places like that, you know, mall or something like that. And even though I haven't been to the mall in a long, long time, don't really have a reason to. Come to think of it, I hadn't been in an airport in a while either. So, but you can watch people, and so they watch. People are people watchers, and the scripture says that we are written epistles, known and read of all men by how we live, how we act, and what we do, and that's a wonderful thing to have a testimony where people around you, work with you, will talk to one another about your character and point out the fact that you are what you are, you know.
Right.
And so that's good. And so you don't have to be a preacher, stand behind a pulpit to preach and to preach this message.
Right.
But you can do it by the way you live.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this event in the Bible we just read about, there was this woman there that came and washed Jesus' feet. And in this process, we see there where Jesus told her that her sins were forgiven. He goes on there at the last, he says to her, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace."
Mm-hmm.
How many would like to hear the Lord say that to you?
Yes.
Tonight, you can leave here tonight with that in your heart, the Lord speaking to you and saying, "Go in peace."
Amen.
To go in peace, meaning go with nothing bothering you, nothing eating at you or anything like that. And so we love that when the Lord does that, and we can walk mm-hmm. away. And you know, when you spend a little time with the Lord, that's what happens.
Yeah.
He knows how to take the burden off your shoulders. He knows how to send you on your way rejoicing.
Yes.
And so I was telling a guy today, he come into office there and had something going on that was bothering him or some issue or whatever. And I told him, I said, "I can't lose for winning." And he didn't catch what I said. He said, "Oh, yeah," you know, like that. And I said, "You didn't hear what I said."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "What's that?" I said, "I can't lose for winning." Then he caught it. And he said, "You know what?" He said, I believe God really wants us to feel that way, to live that way. I said, "That's right, he does. We can't lose for winning because he won for us."
Yeah, right.
Amen. He won for us. And so whatever it is, you know, the scripture says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing. Paul even spends the time to express all the different things. Angels, principalities, powers, whatever it is, things present, things to come.
Mm-hmm.
None of those things can separate us from that.
Right.
So we're winners.
Yeah.
We're not losers.
No.
We're winners because he won it for us.
Yeah.
And so I love saying things to people like that to get them to think.
Yeah.
And he got to talk and said, "You know what? You're right. I believe God does want us to believe that and know that." And so he tells her that your faith has saved you, go in peace. Now, I want to point out something there. There's nothing in these scriptures that said anything about her repenting.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say she repented
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. And I'm not trying to tell, because I know scripture tells us we should repent. So I don't want people to think that I'm saying you shouldn't.
Right.
But I think there's something here, something greater here that we can look at here that we'd like to see. So this Pharisee invites Jesus to his house. And you know, the Pharisee, there was different religious leaders, different religious sects. There were Pharisees, Sadducees, and who knows how many others. These men, as Brother Graham said, they were so learned, they could stick a needle through a scroll and be able to tell you every word that it passed through. That's how studied they were. And you may think that's strange, but I can tell you that a person can be so disciplined that they know those things, just exactly like that. And so these men, they had to be. They were, as Brother Graham said, there in the most holy place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They, the most holy people. They were the most religious, studied, and disciplined people on the planet of the earth, probably ever have ever been on the planet earth.
Yeah. Right.
And so there they are. They're supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the people looked at the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the different things, and the Pharisees, supposed to be the most knowledgeable people, and everybody, I mean, they were brought up in a system to believe, hey, these guys know what it is, how to be in right standing with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there they are, you know, and so, but you have to realize that what they had learned from just self discipline, just like you'd go learn anything else. What? it didn't necessarily come from spiritual things. It was a physical discipline they put themselves to. It was something they obtained, something they achieved. They probably going to the schools and the different things that they did to learn. They looked at one another and had high regards to those who had went through more training and had more stripes on his shoulders or whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying? And so these Pharisees were considered cream of the crops. If anybody would know anything that God was going to be doing, it would be these people, these Pharisees. And this Pharisee invited Jesus to come there. And really all he did, he came there just to invite Jesus there to mock him.
Yeah. Right.
Because we see in the scriptures where that he said, you haven't washed my feet. You know, you didn't kiss me. You didn't anoint me with oil or anything like that. And so you understand in their customs, and we've been through this, and you've heard Brother Ram talk about it, that when you invite someone to your house, you know, and they've walked down the road, their feet are dirty, you'd have someone there to wash their feet, to wash the world off of them, wash the animal manure and the dust and so forth, and maybe it's hot and it's sweaty, and so they would anoint them with some sort of ointment that would maybe smell good and would welcome them, kiss their neck and welcome them, make them welcome,
right?
And we understand that they should do that to every person that they invite in. Everybody would have the same welcoming.
Yeah.
And so this Pharisee invites Jesus, but he didn't do that.
Right.
Now, no doubt all his other buddies and everybody else was there had done that, had been greeted that way. But Jesus had not been greeted that way. And see, so, but Jesus went anyway. Because Brother Brim tells us, Jesus will always go where he's invited.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not think of it like this, but you know, the denominational church world, they invite Jesus every Sunday.
Yeah.
He goes right there, mm-hmm. but they do him just like this Pharisee did. Jesus sitting over to the side, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, we want you to come here to watch our program. You know, it's all about us. It's all about our denomination. It's all about what our program is. And the Word is basically sitting over the side and has no preeminence, mm-hmm. has no recognition.
Yep.
And that's what they did to Jesus. And so, but Jesus goes where he's invited. If you'll invite him into your house, into your heart, into your home, into your work, he'll be there.
Yep.
Right.
You have a problem at work, talk to the Lord about it.
Yep.
Right.
And so, he goes where he's invited. And there he was, most holy person there really was. Not like I said a while ago, them people, you know, most holy people. But there he was, the only righteous, holy person that ever walked the face of the earth, and you know, himself. And there he was, and the religious leaders had not honored him, had not done service to him. When they should have. If there was anybody that should have been recognized, it'd been him.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what man's system will do. Anytime you get to where you're trying to work yourself up into your own personal achievements in whatever discipline it is, mm-hmm. when you start doing that in religious matters, that's the further away that you put Christ.
That's right.
And that's what these guys had done. They had achieved such things in their life, and they had such self-righteousness that they'd look down on anybody who didn't come through the same ranks they did. It's kind of this way now. You take people that's like a man that's a PhD and he wants to look down his nose at anybody that's not a PhD because he too highly self-thought of himself. And so that's the way these guys, these Pharisees were, and they invited him there and hadn't honored him. And they should have. They should have been the ones that would have known.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And so here's this woman. The scripture said she was a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, that could mean a lot of things, right?
Right.
We know Brother Branham, how he illustrated that she had an ill-famed living, made her living
yeah.
off of selling her body.
Yeah.
Right? And so here's this woman who obviously, as the scripture said, she was a sinner. And even not just Simon saying it, but the scripture said that.
Yeah.
She was a sinner. And I don't know, maybe she was walking by. I forget how Brother Daniel illustrated this weekend, but maybe she walked by and she looked in there and she saw, knew that was the Pharisee's house and knew how that they all felt about her.
Yeah.
and looked in there, and but she had heard about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She had heard about the things he had done. And we realized that she had something down inside that made a difference. And she comes by and she looks in there and says, am I seeing this right? Jesus is in there, and look, they haven't washed his feet.
Right.
He's not been anointed.
Yeah.
And I believe that when she saw that, she was overwhelmed with what she saw.
Amen.
Right. That here's the one, the King of the universe, that should have been held in high regard and was being ignored and made fun of and so forth, ridiculed, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw that. And I believe that it just got all over her. It just overwhelmed her. And she couldn't believe, how can this be? How can these religious leaders be doing this? That here he is, the Messiah, and they're not recognizing it. They're not honoring him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how can this be that the system that we all believe in, that have been all told is right, and the great big organizations and all the systems, and they don't recognize it.
Right.
How can this be?
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly what I think happened in her thinking like that. And so she must have said, you know what? If they will not honor him, I will.
Amen.
I believe that's what she said. And so the scripture tells us that she went and she brought this alabaster box of ointment. Now, in another passage on a different situation, it talks about it being expensive. And so we'll say that this box of ointment was expensive, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, ain't no telling how long she would have to work in her ill-famed lifestyle to pay for this box of ointment.
Yeah.
There's no telling what. But she brought that box of ointment there, and the scripture tells her how she would begin to wash Jesus with her tears.
Yes.
Right.
She was crying. She's weeping over the fact that what they had done to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so for their tears, and I think if any of us would have been there, we would have been deeply moved.
Yes.
Perhaps if we would have been there, we would have been the ones doing this.
Yes,
sir. Right? I say that because I believe that if Luther was here today, he'd believe the message we believe.
Yes.
Because he had that life in him.
Yes.
And I believe if we were back there, that she had the same life. If she was here, she'd believe this message. And if we were back there, we would feel the same way.
Yeah.
Right? Because the deep that calls to the deep just calls to the deep. That's all there is to it. You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
And so I believe that she was just overwhelmed and she came in there and began to cry and began to do what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of what she was doing there, she was totally recognizing him for who he was.
Yeah.
And giving honor and service to him like he deserves. And so she came in there and brought those things in there. And perhaps I think Brother Ram might have illustrated this, that she might have thought, well, you know, he's going to know where I got the money at to pay for this box of this expensive ointment.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And this weekend when I heard Brother Daniel mention something about this story here, I got to thinking about it, and I was talking to Brother Reggie about it, and I said, you know, when she came there to bring that, to do service to him, she was not thinking, it wasn't about her.
Right.
She might have said, oh, he's going to know, but I'm going to tell you what was moving inside her was much more powerful than worried about him knowing her sins.
Yes,
right.
And this is the whole thing. It's like, we've got to come to him.
Uh-huh.
We got to reach a place where we don't care. We got to get to him and do service to him.
Yes.
And we know he knows all about it. And we're not going to try to hide nothing. We're just going to come.
Yeah.
Because if we can just give honor to him, like the scripture said, didn't say anything about her repenting, but you know that something major was moving in her heart for this to happen like this.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't going to try and say, well, I better not because he's going to know where I got it. Forget that. Just come to him.
Yeah.
And bring everything you got to him and give honor to him and show who... And that you recognize who he is. And so she did. She came there and did those things. Wasn't trying to cover her sins or anything like that. And that's the way we feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not about us.
No, sir.
It's all about him. It's not about how good I can be or how much I can study or how much I can pray. It has nothing to do with anything about how good I can be. And it has nothing to do with how bad I've been. It has to do with recognizing Him and coming and just laying at His feet and giving honor to Him and worshiping Him.
Right.
And brother, sister, when that happens, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
You can go in peace.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I believe she was repentant in her heart. Obviously, she knew who she was in reference of her life in comparison to Him, that it was Him. He was the one.
Right.
He was the one that needed to be recognized. And
so,
that's what she did. She went there and offered that there, as we read in there. And we don't want to just hide anything from the Lord. We just want to come to Him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus did not rebuke her. Sure, He knew about her life. Mm-hmm. He knew she was a sinner.
Yeah.
He never rebuked her. Mm-hmm. What if His attitude would have been like Simon? Now, whoa, wait a minute here. No, you're not... I know where you got the money to buy that oil. You're not putting that oil on me.
Uh-huh.
Not from that nonsense. That would have been the attitude of Simon.
Sure.
No, you're a sinner. You can't touch me. Mm-hmm. You might defile me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the attitude.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus did not have the attitude of Simon. Mm-hmm. He didn't rebuke her. He let her deliver herself to Him.
That's right.
And He'll do that for you. You come to Him. He will not turn you away.
Amen.
Deliver yourself to Him. Whatever it is that's on your heart, bothering you, whatever it is, just come to Him and lay it at His feet. He knows.
Right.
Yeah.
It says, the scripture says, don't be beguiled of the simplicity that's in the gospel. And I love that where, what was it? I don't remember the story exactly, but a guy writes the ABCs on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I figure that He can put all the words together. You know, or Brother Branham putting that note on the tree in the woods, Mr. Jesus or whatever, you know, it's that simple. Absolutely that simple. So He didn't rebuke her. He didn't have the attitude that Simon did, but Simon, in his self-righteous, like I said a while ago, he had come to the place where they had risen to such ranks and ain't nobody like us. Looking down at it. And with that kind of attitude, how could anybody ever be saved?
Right.
Right?
Right?
And so there he is, and he's looking down at her, and he's like, if this man, he's trying to condemn Jesus. Well, if he knew, if he's like us, he'd know what kind of woman this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, Simon had that self-righteous attitude. Simon was looking at her sins. But Jesus wasn't looking at her sins.
No, sir.
Jesus was looking at her revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was looking at the fact that she recognized who He was.
Right.
And she came and gave honor to Him. Amen. That's what Jesus was looking at. And so, we know that from the message that, like the woman at the well, my brother Ben said, the Pharisees, Sadducees, all the religious leaders, they called Jesus a devil or the prince of the devil. But here's this woman that was at the well that was had many husbands and ill-famed life, messed up life. And she saw the same sign done and said, isn't this the very Messiah? And Brother Bram said the reason why she did that is because she had representation in heaven, and the Pharisees or religious leaders did not.
Right.
They did not recognize Him for who He was, but she did. Because she had something in heaven, a representation. She had eternal life already in heaven.
Yeah.
Just hadn't come to it yet on this earth. Brother Branham tells us, he said, if you have eternal life right now, you always did. You always had it.
Right.
You just have to come to it. And so we know that's the case with this woman. She had representation in heaven, and that's the reason why she recognized who He was.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason why that something moved her beyond all the religious things and all the things that people would say and all the ideas and everybody looking down at her and how bad she's been. Beyond all that, she had something in her that moved to go beyond all that to get to Jesus and just honor Him and say, I'll honor Him, I'll live for Him, I'll recognize who He is.
Right.
And so, because she had representation in heaven, and that's why she did service to him. You know, perhaps she said in that day, you know, I think she would be was astounded, look and go, what's the matter with all these religious people? Don't they know? And so perhaps she would say, like we would say, you know, that in so much deception, looking around at all the religious systems in her day, and the fact that they could not recognize what she recognized, could look around and say, in so much deception and so much confusion, there's one thing I know. He's right.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
The one. Yes. That's the one thing. I may not be able to say, you know, I think Brother Bram talked about this. Talked about a real well-versed Baptist minister that's really well-trained, or even beyond that, a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. And he tells about how many books they have to memorize, like 40 or 50 books or something like that. And you know those men can stand, and from an intellectual standpoint, they can stand there and they can just wow the people.
Sure.
We may not be able to do that. She obviously couldn't do it. The woman to the well obviously couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The woman at the well, after she had an encounter with Jesus, she had a testimony.
That's right.
This woman here, when she come to Jesus, she had something that happened in her life that changed her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we could say the same thing perhaps as she said, that in all this, I know there's one thing, and I may not be able to put it in great fancy words, and I might, if I stood in the presence of all these other religious leaders, that might make me look like a fool, but there's one thing I know. He's it.
Amen.
He's the one. And that's who my heart goes to. Amen. Regardless of everything else, it's him.
Yeah.
And so I believe that's exactly what took place in her heart. Mm-hmm. And so he's the only one that's right. You know, they came to somebody came to Brother Branham one time and said, Brother Branham, I see it, you're right. And Brother Branham said, no, he's right.
That's right.
He's right. Mm-hmm. Amen? And that's right. And so, because of that, he's the one, then that's who I'm going to testify to.
Right.
I don't have time for all this other stuff because I know it fails, I know it's not right, but I know he's right. And if I can just, like I told you the other day, if I can just tell you about him. Right? I'm not the best speaker in the world or anything like that, but if I could just tell you about this one I'm talking about,
Amen.
If you can just get to him,
yes.
then I know everything's going to be okay for me, for you, if we can just get to him.
Amen.
And so that's the one I want to testify. And so I want to bring a little parallel here just before I close, that, you know, in Jesus' day, you know, Jesus said, you know, if I hadn't done the works that nobody else had done, then their sin, you know, they wouldn't have a problem. But because he had done things that had never been done before, then they were required to pay attention to it and realize, hey, we got to pay attention to this man.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what I want to show you is that this has happened again in our day.
Mm-hmm.
That God has moved and done things in our day that's none unheard of. You know, until you get back into Bible times, none of these other ministers, you look around and you see it, and there's all these failures and deception and confusion and all that, and you look at all that, and you see a ministry that has come on the scene that had the attributes of the Lord Jesus working through it, just like Scripture said it to be. The accuracy of the discernment and all the things that happened beyond it, the man can't do that. So to know it absolutely had to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of all that, none of this religious system gives honor to the very move of God that God sent here to prepare us for rapture.
Right.
They don't honor it.
Mm-hmm.
They make fun of it. They want to do anything they can to shed bad light upon it. Just like if this man knew who she was,
mm-hmm.
that's what they want to do. Well, this man, I hear him all the time, and the things they say. And you know what? I listen to them when they talk about it, and they don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They're saying things. I'm like, I'd love to talk to this man and say, you show me where this is what he taught. You're telling me he taught this and this. You show me, because I know he didn't. Right? And so they just, but my whole plan here is not to talk about them so much, but just to show you that we have, again, a system that should have recognized what happened today, and they didn't. But brother, sister, we recognize it.
Amen.
We recognize this is the Lord Jesus Christ that has worked through this ministry this day. Mm-hmm. Not to make Brother Branham anything other than a man that God worked through in a way that he said he would come and through a ministry in this last day.
Yep.
But we realize that they're not honoring it. And if I look at all the Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, all the different organizations, the different ones, they all have all these things to say, they all have their program, and they all claim that the word is in their midst, mm-hmm. but all they're doing is inviting him in there and making him sit in the corner,
yeah.
and not giving honor to him. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is that if they're not going to do it, if they're not going to honor him and give service to him, I will.
Amen.
I'm going to, and yes, that's sir. What I'm doing,
yes, sir.
Is to give honor to him. And so, whether they believe it, like it, lump it, whatever, we see this and we recognize this. We all can find ourselves in this woman
right.
as she gives honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and the world looks on. And so, this is right and I want to honor it. That's why I preach this message.
Yeah. Right.
Because I recognize it's the appearing of the Son of Man again. And they should have known it. And they missed it. But by the grace of God, somehow, he's allowed me to see it.
Amen.
At least to whatever degree it is that I see it. He's allowed me to see. This is once again, God has visited this earth. And you know, if the scripture hadn't said nothing about it, you could wonder about it. But the scripture told us it would come. Amen. And anything, look at the fruit of it. Look at what it does.
Yep.
There is keeping power in the Word of God. Amen. If people will just let that Word have preeminence in their life, it will change them. So if they won't honor it, I will. Actually, I will even if they do. If something happened and they did.
Yeah.
Amen. But they don't because they can't see it. And so this message took the Lord Jesus Christ, who was really to the rest of the world, it was just a historical figure. I mean,
right.
and this message brought him and put him alive in our day.
Yes.
Right.
And brought the reality to us that he's not just some history. Mm-hmm. The message has made him alive in our day.
Amen.
And others are not honoring it. But I will.
Amen.
Amen. And I trust that you will. Amen. That's what you do with your life. Amen. So, may the Lord bless you. I was thinking this weekend when Brother Daniel mentioned this about the woman there, I believe, and hope he did. I thought he did. So to be said that we're saying something, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. But, you know, and I got to think about it, and I was just telling Brother Reggie, you know, it wasn't about her. She knew it was him, and she went, give honor to him.
Amen.
And I can tell you that you may have failures left and right. It doesn't matter.
No.
Just give honor. Go to him. Amen. Give honor to him. He will not leave you behind.
Amen.
He deserves it. Even though the rest of the world won't give it, he deserves it.
Amen.
Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship around your word. Just a little portion of this story here that I wanted to share, just different thoughts with your people. Lord, I pray that it would be something they could think about and they'd find themselves in these little passages and this little story and recognize, Lord, that they just come to you, that you'll always be there and recognize them. Just ask God that you just be with each one now as we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, in one of those places in the scripture, other scriptures there, where it was talking about Mary coming and washing his feet or anointing him with oil for him.
Yeah.
And somebody criticized about it. I think it was Judas criticized. Said, why wouldn't this soul so it could be given to the poor? And that scripture said, well, he did that because he was the money, you know, one that carried the money and so forth. And but Jesus said, she's done this for my burial.
Yeah.
Right. She was recognizing that he was that sacrifice for her.
Amen.
And so, amen. We just want to find ourselves in the scriptures.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Brother Perryman, when we would here back in Pentecost, he'd ask people, somebody, you know, who wants to, you tell them, sing song so-and-so, you know. I'm afraid to do that here because you might pick a song I couldn't sing or whatever. But we'll sing I Love You as we get ready to go. Don't you love Him?
Amen.
Oh,
thank you.